a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters here in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Shevin Berg. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Opening doors, Chinese Premier Li Qiang emphasizes government's commitment to enhancing business environment in 2024 at the China Development Forum in Beijing. Key meeting, over 5,000 participants expected at 2024 Boao Forum for Asia in South China's Hainan Province. AI influence, we explore the impact of AI digital humans on fatigue and well-being despite the availability of artificial intelligence. The China Development Forum enters its second day today with over 110 participants convening in Beijing for this annual government-sponsored event. The attendees comprise leaders of global organizations, including International Monetary Fund Chief Kristalina Georgieva and Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank President Jin Li-chun, top corporate executives and prominent scholars. Panel discussions cover themes such as China's ongoing development, the global economic growth outlook, digital impact, empowerment of industrial transformation and emerging forms of consumption. Chinese Premier Li Qiang also delivered a keynote speech at the forum, reaffirming the government's commitment to enhancing the business environment for foreign investors.
Despite external pressure and internal difficulties, we successfully accomplished the main targets and tasks of economic and social development this year. Economic recovery continued to strengthen, and new industries, new models, and new drivers of growth accelerated. Particularly since last year, we have further improved and optimized our services, established a regular communication and exchange mechanism with enterprises, earnestly responded to and addressed their concerns, and actively built a system and mechanism that better combines an effective market with the government.
Now, for further insights into why this year's event is drawing immense popularity among global CEOs, let's cross to our reporter Wang Tianyu on the ground. Hi there, Tianyu. So what have you got for us?
Well, Michelle, like you said, there's over 100 renowned guests from international organizations and the Fortune Global 500 companies. And this is the second day and last day of the event. And this morning, the topics was all around China's market potential and international cooperation. And the Vice Minister of Commerce, Guo Tingting, has said China will fully guarantee the national treatment for foreign companies. And the Information Technology Minister, Jin Zhuanglong, has also said that China will support foreign investment companies to set up R&D centers in this country. So for more about the foreign investment in China, let's bring in our special guest, Ben Harburg, MSA Capital Managing Partner. He has significant investment experience in China. So Ben, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I think we all agree that this year we have seen an increasing number of global CEOs attending the CDF. But on the other end, the Chinese official data is showing that the foreign capital is flowing out of China. So is this still a good timing to invest in China?
I think it is. We've got an arbitrage opportunity today where the fundamentals in China remain relatively sound. The growth rate is still a stable 5%. Consumer behavior is still leaning towards consumption, even though it's on the lower end of consumption. Global companies are quietly doubling down on the Chinese market. And as I walked around this event and met with many of my friends from Global Fortune 100s, they told me that they are doing very well in China. And actually, the numbers are better than their expectations. And so all that leads me to believe that we're in a unique kind of opaque moment where global investors might not fully understand the opportunities here and might not fully appreciate the fundamentals. But the reality is that we're positioned for growth, and that should translate to better performance on the stock market.
You have once said, a quote here, that China is a market that's cyclically much better positioned than the U.S. Is that still the case today, and why?
So the United States obviously has been coming out of an uncertain period of inflation, of interest rate hikes, and now a significant treasury deficit that will kind of have to be balanced out by some of the hopefully economic improvements that are being generated by advanced manufacturing, AI. All of that, though, against a backdrop of geopolitical uncertainty and domestic electoral strife, let's say. So we're in for a very bumpy 2024 as the U.S. heads to the polls. And so all of that leads me to believe that China, which is coming from a very different point in the cycle, a much lower point base, and now with the stability, with COVID well behind us, with consumer demand starting to grow, and hopefully now, you know, we saw $1.5 trillion coming back of value into the stock market over the last month or so, we're positioned to kind of be at that point where the U.S. was maybe circa 2022, and see better growth prospects.
You know, in the past several months, we have seen the artificial intelligence, the AI, has quickly integrated to the everyday lives. So, but it seems like the U.S. companies are leading this revolution again, like, you know, the ChatGPT by OpenAI. So how would you evaluate China's AI development? Are those Chinese AI startups in your watch list?
So I think that China had kind of a head start because of significant data sets, homogenous data, and was already very much about integrating it into the day-to-day business use cases of retail, financial services, healthcare, in many ways from the last 5-6 years. Then I think this whole open AI and generative AI and Sora and all these innovations that have come out of the US in a very short period of time kind of shocked the Chinese ecosystem and threw it into overdrive. I think some of those AI companies that are emerging out of China will not pan out, and some of them were more hype than substance. But clearly, China is a very AI-friendly market. It's one where the data sets are readily available for these companies to train their models. And so I do suspect that China will start to catch up. It will be a different data set than from the United States, less diversified and less dependent on global support and integrated kind of data sets. And so I do think that China will have some deficits there, but overall, the Chinese government will be rapid to integrate it into the private sector, and so we should catch up eventually.
Well, thank you, Ben Harburg from MSA Capital. So that's it from the China Development Forum, and back to you, Michelle.
Thanks very much, Tianyu, for that and for the interview. Well, Tianyu, for us. Now, China unveiled a 24-point plan to attract foreign investment by improving the business environment and widening market access a year ago. It has 5 sections with 24 measures, which include expanding investment access in high-tech and financial areas, increasing policy and tax support, promoting fair competition, fostering data and business personnel flows, and aligning domestic rules with high-level international trade rules. To gain further insights into the impact of these measures on foreign businesses, we interviewed leaders from various companies about their experiences of operating in China.
The action plan, the 24 measures, are very welcome. They're very welcome first as a general signal that China is open for business, China is open for foreign investment, for foreign companies operating in China. It's a big market. The measures themselves are very meaningful. It's beneficial for the Chinese market because it means more competition, more creativity.
You know, the most important thing is that the China high quality development continues with a focus on long-term and stability, that the economic growth of over 5%, per capita income disposable growth over 6% gives us the confidence to continue to invest and innovate in China.
We recently have invested a billion renminbi additional capital to support our growth ambition in China. So we continue to remain excited about the growth prospects.
We have in the last few months signed 7 agreements with biotech companies in China, and we want to help them bring their medicines to the patients around the world. So we are very, very committed. We have a large presence in China.
Creating some form of platforms for collaboration is one of the biggest unlocks.
The U.S. company seems leading this AI revolution. Do you think Chinese can catch up, or you disagree with that?
I don't know if anyone's leading yet. I think everyone's moving quickly, and the race is still going.
At this year's China Development Forum, investors and representatives from around the world reiterated their confidence in China's potential and its contribution to global economic growth.
China is still very dynamic, obviously the leadership in China is making very clear that China is open for business. China is at the cutting edge of so many of the key technologies of the next 20 years, and clean energy, in electric vehicles, in 5.5G and soon 6G, in many, many of the advanced technologies. China's the low-cost producer for the whole world. And so the interest in the Chinese economy is dynamic, fast-growing, enormous, is very, very strong. And I'm personally extremely optimistic about China's economic prospects.
The best thing about China is they will try something in one place, they will learn, they will make whatever mistakes have to be made and learn. Once they learn, nobody is better at duplicating and replicating at scale. That's something the government does well. We can help because we can be the people who provide that continuity of training and technology. But the real value here is not just within China. It is to take this to other countries as well.
My view is very simple, that the Chinese economy is far away from being peaked. Okay, in fact, the Chinese economy is only having about 25 to 30% of the per capita income of the U.S. It's barely at the middle of the world's per capita income worldwide. And this economy has a huge amount of savings, 45% of savings, which can be utilized to make investment. And investment still is a big source of economic growth. And this economy is also having the world's largest team of doing R&D. We're talking about 4.4 million engineer graduates each year from within the colleges, okay? And this economy also is having the largest market of the world, 11 times the population of Japan. So all things combined, the Chinese economy's potential GDP growth, by my calculation, also a survey of my colleagues' calculation, should be at the range of high fives, 5.7, 5.8. So it will continue to grow for at least two decades to go.
Still to come. Over 5,000 participants expected at 2024 World Forum for Asia in South China's Hainan Province.
Every March, Beijing is the heart of a premier global business event, the China Development Forum. Here, the titans of global business and the architects of China's policy landscape meet. From the future of global growth to accelerating sustainable development to spotlighting the forefront of innovation, CGTN brings you exclusive insights that drive change in the Chinese economy and beyond. Join us at CDF 2024, only on CGTN.
Moving on to some other business headlines we're tracking at this hour. Japan's Vice Finance Minister for International Affairs, Masato Kanda, has cautioned that the recent depreciation of the yen against the dollar is speculative, emphasizing that it does not align with the currency's fundamental value. Kanda indicated the government's intention to take responsive actions. Meanwhile, Australia has committed to boosting minimum wages in line with inflation this year to help low-income families cope with living costs, although the increase will be smaller due to a decrease in inflation. Oil prices rose early on Monday in Asia trading amid concerns about global geopolitical risks, potentially leading to tighter oil supply. The reduction in the U.S. rig count also contributed to the upward pressure on prices. Now, this year's Boao Forum is centered around the theme of international collaboration to address common challenges and fulfill responsibilities. Our reporter Olivia He is in Hainan, and let's cross over to her for an exclusive insight into this year's Boao Forum. Hi there, Olivia. So are you enjoying your time in Hainan? And give us a preview of what's happening at this year's Boao Forum.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm indeed enjoying myself on a beautiful Boao Island in Hainan province. There are so many tourists here flocking to attend the Boao Forum for Asia. The theme of this conference is Asia and the World, Common Challenges, Shared Responsibilities. It aims to seek development and promote cooperation between the international community. The conference will include a raft of panel discussions, roundtables and CEO dialogues, and the opening ceremony is scheduled for March 28th. The panel discussions in particular will cover a broad range of topics, including those focusing on Asia, such as investing in the region, deepening financial cooperation and efforts to build Asia into a growth center. The agenda also arranges discussions on topics such as AI, the future of new energy vehicles, and high-quality Belt and Road cooperation, with speakers expected to discuss when and where the breakthrough moment of technological revolution is, the changes brought by AIGC to the economy and lifestyle of humanity, the risks it brings, and global AI governance. In addition, multiple foreign dignitaries will be visiting China and participating in the Boa Forum for Asia. For instance, Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt of Dominica will be conducting an official visit from the 23rd to the 29th, while Prime Minister Dinesh Gunawardena of Sri Lanka will be in China from the 25th to the 30th. Both Prime Ministers are scheduled to attend the Boa Forum for Asia 2024 annual conference. Furthermore, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs Narayana Kaji Shrestha of Nepal will also be visiting China from March 25th to April 1st. And to ensure the smooth progress of the Boa Forum for Asia Press Center will officially open this afternoon, and I'll start my first day report tomorrow and provide updates and highlights to our audience. And now it's back to you in Beijing, Michelle.
All right, thank you so much for the preview, Olivia He, for us in the beautiful Boao, Hainan Island. And this year's Boa Forum will open tomorrow. We'll get a glimpse of Asia's growth, which has consistently been at the forefront of global economic expansion.
The Boa Forum for Asia annual conference is an event to reflect and discuss Asia's monumental role in the global economy. The International Monetary Fund statistics show Asia will continue its significant contribution of approximately two-thirds to global growth in 2024. As it did in 2023. The IMF has upgraded the regional growth forecast to 4.5% this year, from its initial 4.2%. It says expected stimulus measures in China could inject strong impetus to Asia's economic expansion. The demographic advantage of Asia is obvious. Its combined population surpasses 4.7 billion, indicating a vast labor force and a huge consumer market. The region's economic potential also lies in spearheading innovation, particularly in digital technology, e-commerce, and green energy solutions. Regional economic integration is a trend in Asia, with multilateral and bilateral agreements in place. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, is expected to increase the income of its 15 member economies by 0.6%, adding $245 billion annually and 2.8 million jobs to the region by 2030. The Belt and Road Initiative has further enhanced connectivity in Asia. More than 40 BRI partner countries have benefited from infrastructure projects, such as Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway. And now the initiative aims to deliver more targeted projects to maximize their benefits to the people across the region. The Boa Forum for Asia discusses joint efforts and solutions for sustainable development in economy, innovation, and regional cooperation. Its outcomes will help shape a more resilient and dynamic future in the region.
Boao is a town in Qionghai City in southern China's island province of Hainan. Guests to the forum, which has been hosted by Boao since 2001, will experience the town's near-zero carbon demonstration zone, which has been certified by local and international experts. Liao Zhu has the story.
After 2 years of preparations, all 18 engineering projects across eight categories in the Boao Near Zero Carbon Demonstration Zone have been completed. The zone is now able to produce about 32 million kilowatt hours of green power throughout the year, which can supply the needs of all venues at the Boao Forum for Asia annual conference. After verification by experts and institutions at home and abroad, Boao has achieved the Zero Carbon Operation Area certification. The town has also been certified by China's major ministries.
We are building low-carbon communities, industrial parks, and demonstration projects according to local conditions. We strive to create a model in Hainan by showcasing nearly zero carbon technologies, products, materials, operations, and management methods to the world, so we can further expand China's influence in addressing climate change.
Aiming for first-class international standards, we've accelerated the exploration of low-carbon territorial spatial planning methods, balanced low-carbon development in both urban and rural areas, and enhanced the low-carbon operation of infrastructure, waste resource utilization, and other work.
The demonstration area can produce about 32 million kilowatt hours of clean power throughout the year and is expected to reserve about 7,720 tons of negative carbon every year. At present, all venues of the BFA annual conference can achieve a 100% clean power supply.
The more than 1.9 square kilometer demonstration area has reduced carbon dioxide emissions from more than 12,000 tons a year in 2019 to the current 470 tons a year. Carbon dioxide emissions from energy use in buildings and municipal infrastructure have also dropped from 11,000 tons a year to nearly zero. Liao Zhu, Sanxia Satellite TV for CGTN.
In recent years, the duty-free industry in China has seen significant development, making duty-free products a popular choice for many tourists visiting Hainan. In 2023, Hainan Island's duty-free introduced new pickup methods, elevating the overall duty-free shopping experience for tourists. For more on this, let's hear from our reporter, Olivia He.
I'm currently in Bo'a, Hainan province. If you haven't been here, you can see it as China's Hawaii. Along with the beautiful beaches, delicious food, and abundant sunshine, there is another must-do activity in this place.
Hainan is the fourth region in the world to implement an offshore duty-free program. The province currently features 11 duty-free shops located in Haikou, Sanya, and Bo'a cities.
The prices of items at duty-free shops are even cheaper than shopping abroad, and I can save even more with additional coupons.
Shopping at Hainan's duty-free store is easy and convenient, with a great selection of luxury items. Plus, purchases can be delivered straight to my home, which makes the experience even better.
Currently, Hainan offers 45 types of duty-free goods, such as cosmetics, jewelry, bags, clothing, watches, and mobile phones. Each person has an annual tax-free shopping limit of 100,000 yuan, with no restrictions on the number of times you can shop. Since April last year, Hainan's duty-free shops have introduced two new methods for shopping pickups: buy and pick up now and guaranteed pickup. The purchase limit for buy and pick up is 1 to 5 items, so essential items in Hainan like sunscreen and sunglasses can be taken away after purchase.
For expensive duty-free items above 50,000 RMB, customers can choose the guaranteed pickup method, which means customers can pick up the goods after submitting a guarantee equivalent to the tax on imported goods to customs. Upon successful verification of the goods while leaving the island, customs shall then refund the guarantee.
In the first 2 months of 2024, Haikou Customs noted that duty-free shopping on the offshore islands reached 12.33 billion yuan, contributed by around 1.6 million shoppers.
Given a boost from fresh policy changes, I bet you're thinking about dropping by and shopping at Hainan's duty-free shops, just like me.
Whether it's about your education, the home you live in, or the items you buy, your money has a story to tell, because every business story is a human story. Global Business.
Artificial intelligence is considered as one of the main new quality productive forces. Despite the availability of artificial intelligence, many of us still experience fatigue. What implications does the emergence of AI digital humans hold for each of us? CGTN reporter Li Mengyuan engaged with Turing Award-winning professor Joshua Bengio to explore answers to these questions through insightful conversations.
Before becoming a journalist, I was a consultant, and that was 3 years ago. Countless hours of typing out minutes was our daily nightmare. we type on the laptop letter by letter, and we revise them again and again. 8 minutes a day from morning to evening. After all the meeting finished, that's when our real work begins. I was too tired. So I tried to find some tools to make myself more efficient. But my boss once warned me that I shouldn't let the machines to do my part of job. He told me that I am a person, not a machine. They never understood that they were making people work just like a machine.
I can't help but wonder, what if one day artificial intelligence becomes smarter than humans? Last week, during the International Dialogues on AI Safety in Beijing, Professor Yoshua Bengio answered this question. By the way, who is Professor Yoshua Bengio?
We shouldn't be concerned about the current AI. The problem is where we're going in maybe a few years, maybe 10, maybe 20. We don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty about the rate of progress, but there's an acceleration of the advances. And so if we project ourselves when we reach AI that is smarter than humans, which is very likely, there's no reason it couldn't happen. This is something that will be a game changer, with both potentially huge benefits and great dangers for humanity. When we start playing with entities potentially smarter than us, that could have really existential effects on humanity, and we need to change the way we think about the problem. I think China has a very important role to play in global AI safety. The existential risk due to super intelligent AI, AGI, is not something that's just a problem for one country. If there is a loose AGI that we lost control and it becomes dangerous for humanity, it doesn't matter in which country it happens, it's going to affect every human on the planet. So we are all in the same boat.
Well, a survey conducted by the paper released this week revealed results showing that when it comes to AI, the most prevalent feeling among people is excited.
And that will do it for this edition of Global Business. I'm Michelle Vandenberg. See you next time.